Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors alongside Alec Medford, and we do have Jerry Jones on with us right now, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Jerry, how are you doing today, good sir?
Well, I'm doing fine, and as we go into this new year, let's do a good job out here when we get those Commanders.
Absolutely. Jerry, is this one of those seasons that you look back on and you go, I just like to forget about this one? Or is there something that you look at and you go, I really need to draw from this?
Well, every season, of course, not to be trite, but is made up of numerous experiences. And, boy, that's just part of the journey. And I can look back on some things that are memorable to me in seasons that had all kinds of things happen. But I look at it a little more narrow, or I drill down a little more, and a season to me is a little too broad. I really still focus on the game, like I'm into this weekend against the Washington Commanders, and I want to beat these guys this weekend. Important to us to beat them. And so I look at it more like that. I actually look at it during the month or during the week. I look at more of it on a day-to-day basis rather than a broad sweep it, because those years go by. If you start putting it in concept of seasons and years, that goes by too quick. That's too fast for me.
Your team did get five Pro Bowl players in. Does it ever get old bringing those guys into the office? We heard McCarthy say that you get the opportunity to tell those guys first. Does that ever get old, talking to them and seeing their faces?
Not at all. I'll tell you this. When I see a name out beside Pro Bowl, a little bit the same way, their plays flash up in my mind. I see Turpin making the plays that helped him attain this honor. And the same way with Smith and Tyler and those guys. So it's kind of a little bit the same philosophy. I just think of the individual plays, when they've made outstanding plays, had outstanding games. We've had a chance to review them over and over again, and we see how they've made the kind of plays that made them get the Pro Bowl. So all of that is good, and I obviously am glad to have them. And every one of them's case about what they mean for our future.
Jerry, outside of a win this weekend, is there anything that perhaps the coaching staff could do to leave a lasting impression on you, on the players, with one game left and it being well documented that the coaching staff is on a set of expiring deals?
Well, we all want to win, and we want to have the last game of the year with a win. And so that's important, but no, the hay's in the barn, really, as far as our staff is concerned, and the qualities of each of the coaches, and of what they have brought to the table, where they are in their careers, and the circumstances, what we dealt with this year on a coach by position basis. And so, no, I don't think that something that would happen out here Sunday would impact where we're going to be as we go forward.
Well, to add to that, Jerry, whenever the season ends, after the Cowboys take down the Commanders on Sunday, whenever the season's over, what is that process like? What do you do from the end of that game until the start of the next season that you're like, this is what we have to do? Can you explain how that process goes for you and your guys?
Really, no, I wouldn't explain it, but I would tell you that that's not the first time when the morning comes, the day after we play Washington, that we start thinking about the things we're going to decide on. That's a long time in the making. That's a, you want process. Process is a lot of these coaches out there, we've been with 5 years or more. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of water under the bridge that is good stuff, really good stuff. And so it is there, and I wouldn't call it a process. I'm very familiar with these coaches, very familiar with them, and I'm sure appreciative of what they have done and done well. Very familiar when something didn't go right for us as a team or them in their position or their area of responsibility. I'm very versed in that and can sit down without anything in front of me and take any coach and make about a list as long as you want to of pluses and minuses.
What did this team show you this year that, like, a trait about the team in general that makes you say, I want to invest more in that particular team trait? What is it that you're like, that's what we do well, I want to invest more into that?
Yeah. I like the way that we brought along young players. We were forced to because of our injury situation. But I like the way that we have coached up and got young players ready to be playing next year and into the future. And so to me, that's an integral part of being a coach. It's important to me. Sometimes coaches and do have a shorter view as to their position with the team. I once had a great coach tell me that no coach really thinks beyond 5 years. Well, I think longer than five. And so with that in mind, but it's the right combination. I'm where I should be and they're where they should be. And more of a now thing relative to coaching than the long range picture. But that's what I'm paid to do.
Jerry Jones joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. And speaking of getting guys ready to play, you've had a lot of glowing things to say about Mike Zimmer and what he's done in recent weeks. Do you think Zimmer will have the opportunity to be a head coach in the NFL again?
I think it's possible. Yes, I do think it's possible. And because he's got really an outstanding resume relative to his head coaching experience. But more important, Mike Zimmer, without being trite, Mike Zimmer is very unique. And, boy, here he is, accomplished, tremendous experience. You know, Mike is a coach's son, and so he grew up in coaching. And he's had the experience with a lot of players. He's enjoyed really outstanding success. And I'll tell you this right now, from being around him, there's no question he's got that fire in his tank. And so it's really then you can't be around Mike Zimmer and not understand his road and how he got there, both professionally as well as in his personal life. And anybody that's dealt with that, like he has, some of the tragedies that he's experienced. And yet there he is coaching young men and looking for the best in them and giving it, putting it out there for them to get if they'll take it. And all of those things, it's great to know. It's great to have been a part of Mike Zimmer.
You're absolutely dead on with that, Jerry. In the small time I've been able to be around him, all those things, you nailed it right there. There are reports that John Gruden is looking to throw his hat back in the ring, the head coaching ring. What are your thoughts on John Gruden?
I just don't have any comment there at all.
Okay.
And seriously, one way or the other, John is a friend. And but let's leave it at that.
All right. That sounds good. Now, people do say that this is a copycat league. We've heard that for many years. You see something that works, you go, hey, we want to kind of simulate that. We want to mimic that just a little bit. What teams around the NFL do you look at and say, that would be nice if we could mimic a little bit of what they're doing?
Well, I'll just start at the ones that are in the top seeds in their divisions. And they've been able to, in varying ways, they've been able to get to that spot as we get down near the end of this season. They've been able to get that spot. And you cannot help but look for the things that they've done right and look at the how they have handled their challenges. Every team has had challenges. And you can't help but look at that Kansas City bunch up there and admire what they're doing and look at them. That goes with it. On the other hand, and I'll be very candid with you, some of the best things that I've seen done in the NFL were when you went against the grain. And you say, well, this thing is really working. It's copycat. It's mobile quarterbacks. It's any number of things. It's fast, small linebackers, those kinds of things, as opposed to the bigger guys that help with your run stopping more, all of those kinds of things. And so you really can catch the league. As a general rule, you can catch an opportunity sometime. I'll never forget Chan Gailey told me, if you'll go get me this particular quarterback. He was a great option quarterback in college. And he said, if you'll go get me that guy right there, I'll win a championship here before the rest of the NFL knows what happened. And he was really right. And so that's the kind of thing that I'm trying to make a point here, that it's just as fertile ground to be looking for ways to go in the different direction as to what is trending. The opposite of copycat. Go in that way because there are more players available. There's more opportunity when you're going against what is in vogue.
I mean, heck, Jerry Jones made his career off being a trailblazer when it came to what the rest of the NFL was doing. When is the plan for Cooper Rush to start on Sunday?
You know, we're a little bit, for obviously, if you will, competitive reasons. We're basically not saying until game day.
I know that there's been some discussion on what his bonuses, his incentives could do if he plays a certain amount of snaps. Does that ever play into decisions for guys being on the field? Who makes that decision? Does an agent pick up the phone and say, "Hey, by the way, my guy needs to hit this," and you're like, "All right, we got this." How does that work?
No, it doesn't work that way. I'll tell you, it's usually a look at the past and see where they are. My understanding is that he's done well with his bonus so far this year. Now, he just by the nature of things, his bonus was structured that if something went awry with Dak, then he would have a better opportunity to create a bonus situation. Those are all team. That's for the team. Those are for the team. Those are to create the ability to get players and get them in position. And so usually I've never minded paying a bonus out because that meant the team was doing better or doing well because they were making a contribution that was possibly thought about when they made their contract, and it's come about. But that's a the look at bonuses is always, in my experience, total hindsight and never as you would look forward on a daily, on a game-to-game basis.
Jerry, as you're going through the process of deciding what's next for your coaching staff, is it a little bit frustrating to see Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore having their success within the same division?
Well, it is not frustrating. It's not frustrating. It's just, you know, you're maybe proud but jealous. And know them both. Know them that they're outstanding coaches. Kellen, I'll never forget when Mike McCarthy came in, one of the things that he said excited him the most was having Kellen Moore here. So we understand that both those coaches are top coaches, and it's just there's a little bit of both, Think of them when you mention their names. I see them personally, but I'm sure proud of their overall success for that team. And that team's had a great year, but I'll tell you this, Washington I'm talking about, because we got to play them this weekend. That's why it'd be so important to get them beat out here Sunday.
Yeah, and when you talk about Washington, Jerry, like, they did turn things around pretty quickly this year with Dan Quinn and then obviously getting the quarterback. Does it make you feel like you're, you know, we're just a couple of moves away? Were they just a quarterback away, or was there something else that Dan Quinn brought to that team?
Well, I would give Dan Quinn every ounce of credibility you can for what they're doing, and he deserves all of it. And the obvious is the obvious. They're an inspired group. Now they've got a great ownership group. They are really driven. They've got their aspirations are to be at the top of the mountain, so to speak. And so that's a great situation up there. And plus, that team represents the nation's capital, the capital of the United States. And the Washington team of our country. So I think it's one of the potentially outstanding franchises in sports. And these guys will be able to get the most out of it.
And, Jerry, Washington did get very lucky with Dan Quinn kind of sitting there waiting for him last offseason. And there was a lot of coaching carousel movement ahead of them. A lot of teams had already made their decisions. How much of your decision regarding Mike McCarthy's future involves who is available as a replacement?
In this case, I can speak specifically, not a lot. So, but that is a big key. You're right, but in this particular case, that's not a big factor.
And I know, Jerry, you said you look at bigger years than maybe the 5 years for most of those coaches, the way they see things, and it is different for you. But in this 5 year span that Mike McCarthy's been here, what's been the biggest change you've seen from maybe what the organization looked like before to what it is now and over that time while he's done this job?
Well, we've had three outstanding seasons, 12-win seasons. And those are good to say, be tried about it. They are good. And you get those, you hang around the rim like that, and you will generally have a real chance to step on up there and get the big one. It's unfortunate that we didn't last year. It's unfortunate we didn't this year. So it doesn't take me, it doesn't have any effort on my part to look and see the positives of what we've had as a team under Mike McCarthy.
And we did have a Tolo that's out here with us. That's one of our Turn It On, Leave It On listeners. He's out here today at Buffalo Wild Wings. We're hanging out, having a good time. And he's a big UT fan, and he asked us to ask you, will Bevo be allowed out on the stadium for the Cotton Bowl game?
I can't answer that.
And,
I really don't know. I really don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep everybody
really
in suspense
know.
There.
I really don't. I'm not for sure if there's restrictions on that one at all. But, boy, I've seen that Bevo so many times in my life. And, of course, I say this with all the affinity in the world, but the three times that I got a chance to be on the field playing the University of Texas, they were number one in the nation two of those three times when we went up against them. And so, boy, that respect goes a long way back. And I've had a grandson that just left down there as a player and had a great experience while he was at Texas. So bottom line is this, we're glad to have those Texas Longhorns in that stadium.
Well, Jerry, this is about the, I think this is the sixth year that I've been able to do this. My co-host Kevin's sick. He's out today. Mike's out on vacation, but it's my sixth year to be able to do this show with you, and it's always been a lot of fun. There have been some tense moments, and there's also been a lot of fun moments. We really appreciate it this year. I know this wasn't an easy one for both sides of it. It was a tough season, but we're looking forward to taking the Commanders down and then getting back into it next season. Jerry, thanks a lot.
Listen, guys, I have enjoyed you and particularly enjoyed you this year, and I mean it.
All right, Jerry, you have a good one, man. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
There he goes, Jerry Jones, owner and GM for the Dallas Cowboys right here on 105.3 The Fan. There was I didn't get any real, like, recollection on it either. I'm still, like, back and forth on that when it comes to the coach, when it comes to where he's going to be. How did you feel on that one?
I was hoping that I could get him on. You got him on one of those where he's like, I can't say much, but here's what I would say. I was hoping to try to get him on a couple of those, which I thought he gave some good insight on Mike Zimmer, because he's talked a lot about him and the job he's done recently, and it's pointed to all signs to me that he's coming back. I don't know about McCarthy, but
when y'all discussed Zimmer and his conversation this week with the media, did y'all discuss that as, like, what I was reading from it, it felt like Zimmer was saying, you know, I'm gonna look at it at the end of the year, and he almost sounded exhausted.
Yeah,
but did y'all feel that same way, or was there another feel that you got from that?
No, I felt the same way. It was kind of eye-opening, if we're being totally honest. I didn't expect that from a guy who had taken some time off, like Jerry said, had some personal stuff going on. He needed to step away for a little bit. I was expecting some rejuvenation and everything, but like you said, the grind of being a football coach, you never really know from the outside looking in what it's like, the daily life, and how they're just in their office all day long. McCarthy's talked about it a little bit with Sean and RJ, but, like, we really don't know what the grind is like, and I think Mike Zimmer might have kind of forgot. And those couple years away, I mean, we can even joke about it when we take a week off of work. It's like, you know, that first day back, you're like, I forgot how amazing it was to just sit on the couch. Like, you know, that first day back of work, you go home, you lay down in bed, you're like, oh, I miss this so much. Maybe Mike Zimmer, after this Commanders game, kind of sits down with his family and he's like, I miss this. I forgot what it was like because I've been gone for months.
Yeah, I know that line that he said about, you know, particularly for his son, I know that sticks out. Like, when you're trying to, we got family members that are getting ready to retire, all right, and they're like, what do I do after retirement? And, you know, they keep hearing the stories of, you know, I had a friend that retired, and 3 days later he passed away. And you're just like, that's not going to be me, and that's not the plan and everything. But then you get out there, and you're like, hey, I need – there's something to be said about a man and having a mission. And when he's when he's pursuing a mission, when he's going after something, it makes him feel better. It makes him more attractive. It just gives you this kind of like, I'm doing something today. You wake up, you put on the uniform, and you go after it. And I wonder how much that affected Mike Zimmer this year, where it was kind of ramping into it. But then at the same time, you're teaching. And with some of the teams that he's had, they've already been educated. You know, they knew what they were supposed to do. They were ready to go. This team was not. They had one player that knew what his role was. That was Eric Kendricks. And the rest of it kind of had to learn. And by the end of the year, they've learned enough. Now, what you saw against Philadelphia, that didn't make you feel very good at all, because it goes, oh, that's how far the talent is away from that. But it did look like they were starting to get there. So I would like to see that opportunity. I know Kevin feels like he's kind of lost touch with what the NFL, the current day NFL, is. But I saw a lot of things within his system that reminded me of, like, why toughness in this league is so important.
I think the head coach has lost more touch.
You think
with the current NFL than the defensive coordinator? I really do. I because you see, you asked him about the copycat league. You see a lot of teams running that same defensive idea that Mike Zimmer essentially grandfathered in the NFL, the whole idea of simulated pressures and everything. That is a Mike Zimmer brainchild. And you're seeing that even in the college football ranks, it's reverberating throughout football. So, you know, it's all about adaptation. I don't think that anything he's doing is wrong. He just needs to apply it to current means of talent, personnel, and matchups against said talent and personnel. Sometimes it doesn't work against today's athletes. You know, like when he first started coaching, you know, it's not the son of a coal miner anymore. It's these guys that have been, you know, 6'5", 250 pounds since they were 15 years old. So there's a lot more that goes into it, into scheming against some of these offenses.
Dude, you aren't lying about that. My kid's in middle school football, and I'm like, that kid's bigger than me. And I'm a big man. And I'm like, that kid's bigger than me, and he's going to be in high school next year. weird.
And imagine me. I'm not a big man. And when I see these, you know, 17-year-olds that are out there, you know, I'm calling, you know, private school football this season, and the star wide receiver is 6'6", and I'm just like, he's 17.
Yeah, man.
What?
It is wild. It is wild. All right, coming up next on the KNC Masterpiece, let's talk with our friend Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com next on The Fan.